This week is Parashas Hazinu. Okay, there are a number of things I want to discuss with you. First, I want to tell you a vart that I really wanted to share with you on at the Siyam. I told this to Mr. Axelrod. I want to share with you a vart that relates to Parashas Hazinu and relates very much to Yeshaya. We spend so much time learning Sefer Yeshaya. And every pasuk gives us a different insight into who is Yeshaya. What was his role? Well, how does he relate to Klal Yisrael? So in this week's parasha, we have a very revealing pasuk, which is very important to understand Yeshaya. Hazinu hashemayim v'adabera, v'sishma haaretz imrei fi. Does Rashi call this medrash? Okay, the Medrash says, Moshe Rabbeinu uses two expressions, Ha'azinu and Sishma. What's the difference between Hazinu and the word V'Sishma? Why is it the word Hazinu is used in connection to the word Shamayim, and the word Sishma is used in connection in reference to the word Haaretz? The heavens should hear, as Va'adaber, and I will speak, and the earth shall listen to the words of my mouth. Rashi tells the simple interpretation of the pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu is coming to summon the heaven and the earth to serve as witnesses. Moshe says to Klal Yisrael, I'm about to die, and I'm warning you that if you're not going to be mekayim the Torah and the mitzvot, you're going to be punished, and if you will be mekayim the Torah and the mitzvot, you'll be rewarded, but I'm not going to be around. So who is going to come and testify against you that you've been warned and you now deserve punishment or reward? I'm only a boss of Adam. I'm gone. I'm here today, gone tomorrow. But the Shemayim and the Aretz, they will exist forever, and they will serve as witnesses to warn you if you fail to listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Moshe calls the heavens, calls the earth. He says to the heavens, Hazinu, he says to the earth, V'sishma. Beginning of Yeshaya, very beginning of Yeshaya, Shabbos Chazoin, we read, Shimu Pasuk Beis, in Sefer Yeshaya, Shimu Shamayim V'Hazini Eretz. The heavens should listen, and the earth shall listen. So the Medrash asked the question, I believe this is Sifrei. Okay, this is the Sifrei. Sifrei is plural. It's a collection of Midrashim on Chumash Bamidbar and Chumash Devarim. And it asked the obvious question, why does Yeshaya use the word Shimu in connection with Shamayim when Moshe used the word V'sishma in connection with the Aretz? Why does Yeshaya use the word Hazini, Hazana, in connection with the Hazini Eretz, when Moshe used the word Hazinu in connection with Shamayim? So the Medrash says, Moshe, this is the difference between Moshe and Yeshaya. Moshe Rabbeinu was closer to heaven. Moshe went to Shamayim to receive the Luchos. His neshama had more of an attachment to heaven, so he used the word Hazana in connection to heaven. Whereas Yeshaya had more of a connection to the earth. He wasn't as spiritual, I don't know if that's the right thing to say, but he had more of a connection with the earth, therefore he used the word Hazan in connection to the earth. And how does that answer the question? Because the word Hazana means to listen, to come close and listen. Hazana comes from the Sherish Ozen, when you whisper something into a person's ear. Shmiya means to hear from a distance. When you compare the word Shmiya to the word Hazana, if I'm speaking to a group of people, there are 1,000 people, and you're speaking, so from a distance they hear what I say. But when you want to tell something, a secret, you whisper it into the ear, you tell them to come close and come, and you say it directly into their ear. The word Hazana has the connotation of closeness. Come close and listen, yeah.
In Ne'ilah,
yeah,
which is the moment of being closest
yeah,
to feel
a aha, very good. We're very close to Hashem at that point. Very good. Hazana is very close. Shmiya is distant. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu Moshe Rabbeinu was very close to heaven. Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Hazinu Hashamayim." The earth, he was distant, so he said, "This is Sishma Aretz." But Yeshaya is closer to the earth, and he's distant from heaven. Therefore, Yeshaya said, "Shimu Shamayim," the word which means distance, and the earth, the Hazini Eretz. Okay, so that's the simple interpretation of the Medrash, the Sifrei, to understand the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshaya. What does this all mean? So there are many interpretations. Let me just give you a very basic interpretation before we go into the interpretation, the one that I want to relate to. The Gemara tells us, first we have to know, before we begin, that there are many similarities between Yeshaya and Moshe Rabbeinu. For example, both Yeshaya and Moshe, the Medrash tells us, were born mohol. They were born with a bris milah. Both Yeshaya and Moshe Rabbeinu lived exactly 120 years. Yeshaya and Moshe Rabbeinu, Chazal tells us, were the only prophets that were awake and conscious as they gave over their prophecy. All of the prophets were knocked out. They were sleeping, they were unconscious as words were coming out of their mouth. Chazal tells us that when Menashe killed, when he murdered his grandfather, Yeshaya, the Pasuk says that there was blood filled in Yerushalayim peh el peh, from one end to another end. Doesn't mean that Menashe, he murdered everyone in Klal Yisrael. It means he murdered his grandfather, and the Chazal tell us it means that there was no one as great as from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, who was Hashem spoke to Moshe peh el peh. There was no one in the world that reached the madrig of Moshe until the time of Yeshaya. Yeshaya was an equal to Moshe Rabbeinu, and the murder what? In greatness, it's not exactly clear what it means, because Chazal tells us that Moshe was the Av HaNaviim. Moshe was the Av HaNaviim. Those no come to Moshe, but it means, I guess, second to Moshe. How do you relate to Yeshua? I don't know, but this is the Medrash. The Medrash says that Menashe spilled blood mi peh el peh. Chazal say that he was shokel kineged Moshe Rabbeinu, who Hashem spoke to peh el peh. Many Midrashim equating Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshaya. It's almost like if we wouldn't know better, we wouldn't be into these things. We would say he's a Gilgul, he's a Nitzah, it's a reincarnation of Moshe Rabbeinu, and in fact, there's some similarity in their prophecy. Moshe said, Hazinu Hashmayim V'Adabera, and Yeshaya said, Shibu Shemayim V'Hazini Eretz. They're both using similar expressions, but there's a difference. The difference is, Yeshaya is closer to earth, Moshe is closer to heaven. What does that mean? So let me first give you one interpretation, and then we'll go into something a little bit deeper. One interpretation I came across is there's another very interesting medrash that says that Yeshaya and Moshe were in a different league compared to all of the other Nevi'im. Because they're different league, a different category. Why? Because all of the Nevi'im, some Nevi'im, they focused only on giving Musar to Klal Yisrael. They didn't, I use this term loosely, they didn't give Musar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean, giving Musar? They would complain. Ribbono Shel Olam, how could you let this happen? How can you let Klal Yisrael suffer like this? There were some prophets, I don't have the list in front of me, but the Medrash says there were certain prophets that only complained to Klal Yisrael, shape up! You're a bunch of good for nothings. How could you commit all these terrible averos? You have to do tshuva. You're being punished. You deserve it. Get what you deserve. Do tshuva. If you don't do tshuva, there'll be more punishment and more punishment. They never went to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and complained to Ribbono Shel Olam, enough. Enough already. Stop suffering. And then there were other prophets that only complained to Hashem. They were prophets. They gave over prophecy, but their prophecy was always saying, "Ribbono Shel Olam, what are you doing? How dare you? How dare you cause the Jewish people to suffer to such an extent, to such a degree?" They didn't give Musa to Klal Yisrael until Klal Yisrael, don't you think it's time to shape up to do some tshuva? Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshaya. This is the Medrash. I don't know where the Medrash is. I think I saw this in the Ishaya Tanakh. Maybe not. Maybe I saw it somewhere else. I think Ishaya Tanakh brings down this Medrash. Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshaya were the only two prophets that gave Musar to both. I said the Musar. Complained to Klal Yisrael, you must do tshuva. But they also complained to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to let up. You can't continue to punish the Jewish people. The difference is, what was the ikar, and because of this, they are within a league to itself. Because that shows in life, it's a very Moshe Haskell for life. There has to be, it's a two-way street. Whenever you're in a relationship with a person where it's a one-way street, doomed for failure. Okay, everyone has experience. If you're in a relationship with a person, whether it's an employer, an employee, or whether it's someone in a family, a friend, in someone in shul, where you're always giving them. You give them, you give them, you give them, and they have no appreciation whatsoever for what you're giving them, it's doomed for failure. On the other hand, if you're on the other end, you're just take, you take and take and take, and you don't reciprocate, you're also doomed for failure. In life, there has to be reciprocation. If there is no reciprocation, if you're in a relationship and it's not a two-way relationship where you give and you take, it's it. It's curtains. It's not going to last. Yeshaya and Moshe Rabbeinu understood this. And they understood this in the biggest picture, that this two-way relationship must exist between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Yisrael must give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They must do tshuva, they must be mekayim tar mitzvos, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu also has to reciprocate. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to give over a shef of bracha to Klal Yisrael to exist. This was their demands. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there was a demand of reciprocation, a two-way reciprocation between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. The only two prophets that excelled in this understanding relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, it's a two-way street and it's expressed in their prophecies, is Moshe and Yeshaya. All other prophets were great, let's not kid ourselves, but their prophecies were lopsided. It was focused too much either on Musar to Klal Yisrael or too much focusing on complaining to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being Mavakish Tfila Bakasha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, without demanding of Klal Yisrael to do their part. Moshe and Yeshaya understood reciprocation. This is what it says in the Medrash, a very profound Medrash. This is what it says in the Medrash. I saw it in a very old sefer. He takes this Medrash and he says that's the difference between Yeshaya and Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeshaya, let's say Moshe was closer to heaven. Again, Moshe and Yeshaya, it's two ways. But Moshe was closer to Moshe was closer to heaven. He sided more with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He gave more Musar to Klal Yisrael. Because I'm on Hashem's side. Don't get us wrong, it's a two-way street. But I have more netiyas to give Musar to you, Klal Yisrael. You're not meeting up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's demands. Moshe is closer to heaven. He's closer to Hashem. And therefore he's more demanding on Klal Yisrael. Yeshaya was closer to the Oretz. He was closer, he had a netiyah to side with, whenever there's a dispute, you know, you have the defense, the prosecutor, and the defendant, and the defense. Whose side are you on? Yeshaya was more on the side of the Oretz, of Klal Yisrael. And he was more demanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the difference. They both excelled in reciprocation compared to all of the other prophets. But even when you demand reciprocation, it's never a perfect two-way street. No such thing. A parent will always give a child more than the child can ever give the parent. But there has to be reciprocation. The question is, who's giving more, who's giving less? Yeah.
What's an example of this?
You have to go into the psukim. Okay, that's not for now. That's very deep. But this is this is a medrash, an explicit medrash. So I'm safe. I'm not making this up. Yeah.
Usually the medrash backs it up.
Yeah.
To accept it. It's like, you know, we say by Moshe Rabbeinu, if Hashem and I said, like, hold my garment, how do you ever challenge it?
Tefillah.
How does he challenge it?
This is the koyach, you have to learn to, yeah, that's a koyach of tefillah. Tefillah, tshuva. What? That's a different sugya. That's different. To the koyach of tefillah, a person can make demands of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the right way.
So this is what Yeshaya used, koyach of tefillah?
I guess so. But it's also through his koyach of nevuah. It's also through. So this is the difference between Yeshaya based on. Okay, that's one mahalach. I enjoyed that mahalach very much. That's why I wanted to share with you. Now I want to tell you another mahalach. Another mahalach. Moshe Rabbeinu in Sefer Yeshaya, the Gemara Masechta Makos, the very well known Gemara Masechta Makos, and the Gemara tells us that Hashem gave us Tayag Mitzvos, Daf Chavdal, very in the Makos, and the Gemara then says, you know, tayag mitzvos. It's a little bit too much. It's a little bit too much to do all the tayag mitzvos. So at least to excel, to be medatek. A long time David HaMelech,
right.
And David said, "You know, go easy. You know, go easy on the Jewish people. Just focus on 11 mitzvos. 11 mitzvos is enough. That's enough." Along came Yeshaya, and Yeshaya said, 11. 11 is also too much. 6. Just focus on 6 mitzvos. 6 themes, not mitzvos. 6 themes. One theme can encompass many mitzvos. You have to, that's an impossible thing to go through. There's a life work to figure out how to take the Kol HaTorah Kula and break it down into 11 themes, or to break it into 6 themes. Along came Hoshea. Hoshea said, 6? Oh, that's too much. 3. Along came Chavakuk, and he said 1. The famous Gemara, just focus Bizman Hazeh on 1 theme. Tzadik Bemunaso Yichya. 11, 6, 3, 1. There are many, many svarim that are built upon the principle of Chavakuk, Tzadik Bemunaso Yichya. Unfortunately, the other 3 prophets did not get much attention. There's very little. I looked at the guy. I went to many, many mefarshim. They all skip over this gemara. When it comes to tzaddik, v'munso yichya, pages and pages and pages of Jewish and pilpul and lundis. But when it comes to David 6, quiet. When it comes to Isaiah 3, quiet. When it comes to David's 11, quiet. But what I want to take out of this chazal is 6. Yeshaya represents the number 6. That's the only thing. Bo Yeshaya vehemidan al sheish. Now, what are the 6? So the 6 appear, the Gemara quotes the pasuk. Let me read you the pasuk. Perek Lamed Gimel. Yeshaya. The pasuk is. Perek Lamed Gimel Pasik Tes Vav. The Pasik is Hoylech Tzedakos. A person shall walk in a way of righteousness. The Doiver Meshorim should speak with words of uprightness. Moyes Bevetza Mashakos. He shall detest the profit that comes from ill gain. Noyer Kapov Mitzmoich B'Shoichan. He shall shake out his palm from supporting bribery. He shall close up his ear from hearing things which lead to bloodshed. The shall close his eyes from seeing evil. That's the Gemara just rattles off the pasuk. And the Gemara quotes the pasuk perik lamedil pasuk tezvav. Finished. Weiter. Bo Yeshaya. And there's almost no Rashi. There's no mafarshim. That's it. It's a done deal. What's the significance of these 6 things? So I want to suggest that if we go back only a few psukim in this same perek, pasuk vav, there's another very famous pasuk from Yeshaya, very very famous. V'hoya emunas itecha chosen yeshuos chokmas v'das yiras Hashem hi oitzorei. This pasuk is the pasuk which tells us that there are shisha sidrei mishnah. There are 6 orders to mishnayis, and the Chazal find the remes to the shisha sidrei in this pasuk. V'hoya emunas, faith, and Chazal tell us emunas refers to seder zeroyim. Seder zeroyim, you plant a seed in the ground. What are you crazy? You're pulling a seed in the ground. Why are you doing that? You have faith. You have faith that this seed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and this seed will grow and blossom. Itecha, the faith of your times. Itecha seder moyet, all of the zmanim. Chosen is power. Power refers to seder noshim. When a person, the ultimate power a person has is his children. gets married, has children. This is his power. This is the koyach. Person doesn't live in this world forever, but he leaves over a koyach in this world. The koyach he leaves over in this world are his children. Yeshua's salvation is seder and is zokin. A person wants to have salvation, he should not harm anyone. Don't harm, don't damage, don't cause damage. If you don't cause damage, that will be a zechus, and you will be saved. Okay, the different drush, what it means, Yeshua, it's not so simple. Chochmas is kodshim, because Seder Kodoshim is very hard. You have to be a briska to learn kodshim, you have to be a chocham. Vodahas is taharis. Okay, I didn't prepare the drush because it's so famous that this pasuk I can get by just rattling off the pasuk, and you know that these are the shisha sidrei mishnah. Six shisha, right? We did discuss it. We learned it. I remember. Okay, so we have over here. These are the shisha sidar. I want to suggest that the six things bo yeshaya vehemidam al sheish corresponds to the shisha sidrei mishnah. Now what do I mean? Let me show you a little bit. Hoylech tzedakah is a person that goes in the way of righteousness. Now the Gemara, in fact, I didn't tell you the whole truth. The Gemara does darshan the pasuk a little bit. And when it says Hoylech tzedakah, it says this refers to Avraham Avinu, who taught his children. He taught his children v'shamru derech Hashem lasoi tzedakah u'mishpat. The Gemara interprets, what does it mean to go in the way of righteousness? It means to make sure that your children, it's to marry the proper woman and make sure that your children have an upbringing of Torah and Yirah Shemayim, and they shall go in the ways of righteousness. The Gemara very clearly defines Hoylech Tzedakah is in reference to Chinuch Habanim, which only comes through Noshim. Which I want to suggest that this expression refers to Seder Noshim. Just like it says Chos and power means your children, Hoylech Tzedakah means get married, have children, and instruct them to go B'derech Hashem. The doiver to speak ne sharim in the way that is upright. I want to get this drush with a capital D. The doiver ne sharim means seder kodoshim, because there are numerous memory chazal that tell us kedusha relates to dibur. In fact, the only way you can sanctify something in this world is through your dibur. If you have an animal, you just can't bring the animal to the Beis Hamikdash and slaughter it. You have to first sanctify it. How does one sanctify it? You make a statement. Hare zeh kodesh. This shall be sacred. Dibur represents the sanctity of man. Vayipach ba'ap of nishmas chayim v'nesham is kodesh. Dibur is sanctity. The way a person speaks is how a person sanctifies himself. Seder Kodosh. Moyes bebetza ma'ashakos. A person, he detests profit that's gained illegally. Seder Zeroim. Instead of rob a bank, go out to the farm and plant, go earn your own keep. Go out and plant and work the land. Go get a job. What is Seder Zeroim all about? Get a job. Go out to the farm, plow the field, plant seed, harvest a crop, bake your own bread, make a parnasa. You moyes, you detest profit. Moyes, you detest profit that is gained illegally. If you really detest illegal gain, you would get a job. You would get a job, and the real job, we don't have real jobs today. Today we deal with just in front of we sit in front of a screen and we play with our hands. That's already a good job. Real means working the land, a kibbutz, right? The pioneers. I have to be careful what I say. You work the land. This is Seder Zeroyim. Parnasa. Okay, next. Noyer kabab mitmoich b'sheichad. You shake off your hands from supporting those who bribery. Sheichad is bribery. This means Seder Nezokim. Seder Nezokim. Damages. Seder Nezokim is like you cause someone damage. I harm someone. You steal from someone. Sheichad is a form of nezek. I mean, you steal. By giving a judge a bribe, you are causing damage. You're harming, you're taking away profit from someone else. It's an abstract form of, it's the theme. We're trying to take a whole Seder and extract the theme and plug it into the pasuk. I'm working backwards.
It's a problem.
It's a problem, but...
Because it could work for a Mesharim.
Okay, Enochanami, you have to work it on that. I want to throw out an idea. I agree. Choymer Lidrosh. You can take the same idea and you can reconstruct it perhaps in a much better way. 100%.
To whip.
Oitem oznoy mishmoy adamim. Now this is a little more difficult, but I feel confident that I have an interpretation. This is Seder Moyet. Why is closing your ear from hearing damim, words that lead to bloodshed, damim blood, why is that called Seder Moyet? It's really Parashas Nitzavim. Look at what it says in Parashas Nitzavim. We don't think of it like this. But we know there's a mitzvah Aliyah L'Regel. This is a drash in and of itself. There's a mitzvah Aliyah L'Regel. What is the climax of Aliyah L'Regel? So one would say nothing. What's the big deal? You got your oil regel. I go for Pesach, I go for Shavuos, I go for Sukkot, right? You get on a ticket, you get on a plane, you have frequent flyer miles, you go to Eretz Yisrael, you go 3 times a year. When you oil the regel, are you trying to reach a goal? Is there a process that you are contributing to? It's like a 401k when you go to be oil a regal. Are you doing something? Are you contributing to some pension fund when you go to be oil a regal, in some spiritual fund? So I want to say a chiddush. This is not so simple. This is a drush in and of itself. And the answer is yes. And it's really a pasuk. Being oil a regal culminates in hakel. Hakel at the end of 7 years after Sukkot is the culmination of Aliyah L'Regel. And Aliyah L'Regel is Moadim. Those are the Ikar Moadim. It's a Moed means to kneel the Kodesh Baruch Hu. What does it say in Parshas Nitzavim? It says, Hakel Eskol Ha'om. Okay, let me find the Pasuk in Parshas Nitzavim. No, it's in Parashas Vayelech. Here it is. Vayitzav Moyeshoy Sam Leimah Miketz Sheva Shonim Bimoyed Moyed, right? Bimoyed Shnas Hashmita B'chag HaSukkos Bivo Kol Yisrael Leirois Es Pnei Hashem Elokecha Bamokom Asher Yivcha. What an elaboration. When everyone comes, we know that. What is the pasuk repeating here? The pasuk repeating that now after Sukkot, when everyone comes leirois to see us pnei Hashem Elokecha b'makom asher yivchar b'chag hamatzvot b'chag hasukkos. What's this elaboration? It's tying in hakel to Aliyah L'Regel. There's Aliyah L'Regel 3 times a year, and now it's telling us when they come now to be Aliyah L'Regel b'makom asher yivchar Hashem tikra. You shall read es haTorah hazos neged kol Yisrael biyoznehem, in their ears. Hakel es ha'om hu anashim v'hanashim v'ataf v'gerich Hashem b'sharecha leman yishmeu hazana shmiya uleman yilmedu v'yaru es Hashem alokechem v'shamu la'asos kol debiyat ha'azos v'nehem ha'shem lo'idu yishmeu. Even the children, they also yishmeu v'lamdu l'yiru es Hashem alokechem. There's an emphasis on shmiya that takes place at the time of Hakel. And what is Hakel? Hakel takes place at the end of the time when everyone is coming up le'ro'ois es p'nei Hashem alokecha. This whole elaboration. So I want to say to Jewish is that Hakel really represents the culmination of 7 years of Aliyah L'Regel. And what is it all about? What is it all about? It's all the intensification of what the Moyadim are about. And if the Hakel is all about Shemiyas, to listen, that's really what Aliyah L'Regel is. What's the Moadim? The Moadim are times when you come together to hear the word of Hashem. What does Hashem want? Mo Hashem Elokecha Dorei Shmeimach. It's Pesach, it's Shavuos, it's Sukkot. You come together. Moed means coming together. Oh, the best thing would be to come together in the Beis HaMikdash. And what happens in the Beis HaMikdash? You hear the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are drashos, there's musar, there's what to learn, there's what to hear, there's what to study. And the culmination of all of this is, after 7 years, you come together and you hear the Kohen Gadol, the Melech, read the Pasuk. But everything that you do, all of the 7 years leading up to it, is also a taste of what you're going to come to at the very end. And that's what it says here. It says over here, Oitem Ozno Mishmoy Adam. Now here it's in the negative form, but it's the theme. The theme over here is here, you close your ear not to hear the wrong thing. The theme is Shmia. You listen to what you should listen to, and you don't listen to what you're not supposed to listen to. That's in essence what Mo'adim, Seder Mo'ed, is all about. And the last one, Oitzem Ein of Meros Biro, I think that's very similar, Tahara. A person has to be in a state of Tahara. If you don't look at things you're not supposed to look at, technically, there's nothing wrong. I'm not talking about looking at Devarim HaSurim, but this Shmir Sinai brings a person to a state of Tahara, of purity. Say the Taharas. So basically, what I want to say over here is Yeshaya, the Gemara says, Bo Yeshaya Vehemidon Al Sheish. Yeshaya's, the big number is 6. Yeshaya himself says, what's my number all about? 6. Yeshaya's Iker Nechama, we said by the seam of Sefer Yeshaya. What's Yeshaya's Iker Nechama? During the Tkuf of Chizkiyahu. What is Chizkiyahu? Torah, Torah, Torah. What's Chizkiyahu? Tzor to Oda, Tzor to Uda, Chasoim, Torah, Belimudai. Bind yourself up with Torah. The most beautiful pasuk in the entire Tanakh that discusses Torah was said by Yeshaya. Tzor to Uda, there are two words for Torah. To Uda and Torah. Tzor to Uda, bind yourself up to the law. Chasoim Torah, instill the Torah, Belimudai, in your students, in my students. Yeshaya is all about Torah. Where is that? That's, I don't know where it is. It's towards the beginning of Yeshaya. Tzor to Uda, Chasoim Torah Belimuda. Yeshaya is all about Torah. And Yeshaya is also, he's a reincarnation of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe is also Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu. Torah Tzivolanu Moshe. What's the difference? The difference is Moshe is Hazinu Hashamayim. Moshe is closer to heaven. What came from heaven? The Luchos, the Torah Shebichsav. But is the interpretation of the Torah Shebichsav in heaven? Torah Lab Hashamayim He. The interpretation, the halacha of the Torah is Lab Hashamayim. It's to the Aretz. What's on the Aretz? The Tar Shabal Peh. The chilik between Yeshaya and Moshe Rabbeinu is Moshe is Shamayim. Yeshaya is closer to the Aretz. Moshe represents Tar Shabal Saf. Yeshaya represents Tar Shabal Peh. He represents, that's one way of looking at it. I heard another halakha say Moshe Rabbeinu is the Noisin HaTorah. Yeshaya represents the Kabbalah HaTorah. You could say Moshe Rabbeinu is the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Moshe Rabbeinu is a good Rosh, you could say, for Shavuos. Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Torah. Simchas Torah is the Kabbalah, is the Mekabel. Torah Shebaal Peh is Yeshaya. It's the Oretz. It's the acceptance. It's the observance. It's the fulfillment of Torah. But I want to say more Torah Shebaal Peh, because the Shisha Sidorim, that's what you see, Bo Yeshaya Ve'emidim Al Sheish, the magic number 6 is the number of Torah Shebaal Peh, the Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, Moshe Rabbeinu is the 5, he is the Chamish Shechum Shetorah, the Shamayim, the Luchos, which is the Torah Shebichsav, and Yeshaya is the Sheish, is the Kabbal Sarah of Torah Shebaal Peh. So this is a little bit of a drush to explain the Bo Yeshaya v'Hamid of Sheish, to understand the Pshat, this Pasuk. Hazinu Hashamayim v'Adabera v'Sishma Aretz Imrefi. Now, another drush, unrelated to this idea, but related to these days. Now this requires, or this is raw. It's raw as it gets. And if Michal is going to come back next Friday and tell us the deeper meaning of what I'm going to say. Okay, homework aside, you have a whole week to work on this. Let's count all of the yisoidos. There are tayag mitzvos. Too much. Tayag mitzvos. I can't do tayag mitzvos. We have to reduce it to themes. So who came first? David. How many did David? What did David?
11.
Right. Then came Yeshaya. 6. 11. Are they the same 6? Are the 6 of Yeshaya the same as David? You could argue not. Look in the Gemara. You could argue that different. Well, they're different. Okay, they overlap. Okay. We have to work on this. A redistribution, but it's a different focus. It's a totally different lens. A photographer here. Yes, different, totally different lens. Different focus. Different lens. So, what is 11 plus 6? 17. Next, then who came along?
Hoshea.
3. How much? 20. And then came Habakkuk, 1. Tzadik be'emunah sayichya emunah, 21. How many days are there from the beginning of Rosh Hashanah until Shmini Atzeres? 21. V'yisa ach sameach, 21. That means that the 21 days from Rosh Hashanah to Shavuos, you have to work on one of these midos. Now 11, as the Aseres you made Shuvah, plus you have to understand the day after Shuvah, after this is what goes back to what we said yesterday. We think of it only as the day after Yom Kippur. The day after Yom Kippur, we discussed yesterday, the Yom Tov HaYoisei Kohen Gadol, the day after Yom Kippur is a very special day. It's a Hemshech. It's a Hemshech from the Aseres Yimei Teshuva. That's David. David got us covered for the first 11 days. Aseres Yimei Teshuva, and he took us into the day after that, the Yom Tov HaYoisei Kohen Gadol, and we have to analyze all of the 11, each one of those 11, and figure out how it relates to each day. Now we're holding during the 6 days of Yeshayah. So we have 3 more days, right? 3 days. 3 days of that are left between Sukkot and Shavuos. Yom Kippur. Between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. Plus the first day Sukkot. Plus the first day of first 2 days of Chol HaMoed. Okay, then we have the next three days of Chol HaMoed, which include Hoshana Rabbah, and then the 2 days of Chol HaMoed. And then Simchas Torah. What is Simchas? The last day, the whole theme of the last day is Emunah. The Tzadik be'emunah so yichya. The whole climax of the entire holiday, from beginning all the way to the very end, is the Tzadik be'emunah so yichya. You're coming to the day of Shmini Atzeres, you're coming to that Tkuf of Emunah. Okay, we have to work out all of these days, all of the things that they said. Look, you have to look in the Gemara, the Daf Chav Dalet, the 11 different things of David, the 6 of Yeshaya, to fit them into the day and to see if there is a relationship between that particular Midah and the day itself. But one thing is very good. One thing I like off the bat is the last day is great. But Tzadik be'emunah so yichya gives you a whole new look at Shmini Atzeres. What is Simchas Torah? There are no mitzvahs. It's the most difficult Yom Tov for Rabbanim, for Darshanim, because there is no material. There's nothing to work with. Bishloimos Sukkis. You can talk about the Dalet Minim. You can talk about the Sukkah, the Shanis, Rashani, you have the Shofar, Yom Kippur. You can talk about fasting. You have Chomer LeDrush, Pesach. But when it comes to Shmini Atzeres, there's no mitzvahs. There's nothing. So what are you going to talk about in Shmini Atzeres? What? Okay, but Geshem is not a biblical. This is a. But okay, you're right. But Tzadik be'emunah so yichya. It's the day of Emunah. It's the last day of the Moadim Tzadik be'emunah so yichya. Okay, now let's. Okay, all right. Okay. Let's. Okay, let me just conclude with. I want to just conclude with a short idea, and just an observation. This is a very important parasha. Parasha Hazim is a very important parasha because it discusses Jewish history. Sha'al avichav yageidcha. This is just an observation. I don't have any deep idea here, any deep avart. But sha'al avichav yageidcha zikeinecha v'yoymulach. It's a fascinating pasuk, and there, if I'm not mistaken, Rav Chutner, there's a letter in the Igros from Rav Chutner where he writes that when one studies Jewish history, now don't quote me, those that are listening, no one ever listens anyway, it doesn't make a difference, but no one ever listens anyway, so it doesn't matter. But if I'm not mistaken, there's a letter in the Igros from Rav Chutner that says that when one studies Jewish history, he's mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Pasuk in the Torah. What? It's a pasuk in the Torah. Shbinu zuchor yemos olam binu shno star vadar. Remember the days of old and understand the shnos, the years of every generation. The Torah instructs us, learn from history. Don't just go through life blindly. You must study, you must understand Jewish history. Rashi tells us, don't make the Rashi tells us, you have to know the Puranas. Look, people were punished. They did Averis, they were punished. So no, you'll also be punished if you can repeat the same sins that they have done. History repeats itself. You have to learn and understand. So this is a very powerful pasuk. Many people, there are many Darshanim, and there are many historians. The Hagdama of any Jewish history book will begin with this pasuk of Zichor Yemei Salambinu Shnei Star Vadar. Now, I just want to make an observation. The pasuk is telling us how to study history. I'm sure if you go to all the various colleges throughout the country and you'll go to the history department, there'll be courses in how to study history. It's a very... What are you looking for in history? Do you study years? Do you study generations? Do you study centuries? How do you study history? The pasuk here is very interesting. It goes from one extreme to the other. It starts off Zuchar Yemos, days, Olam, days of old. It's telling us to focus on just a day that happened 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago. And then it says, remember that day. Binu, understand, which means depth, pilpul, lumbus, shinos, years, but not just years, dor vadar, of generation to generation. That's telling us that if you want to study history, don't just study an isolated date on the calendar, what happened on the day when George Washington became president. Don't just look at the big, big picture. Look at generations. How long is a generation? 70 years. You can argue all the types of generations. 100 years, 500 years, whatever it is. 25 years, 30 years, whatever it is. Shnos, dor. Not just one generation. Years that span multiple generations. What's going on? You would expect when the Torah tells you to study Jewish history, you know, study a decade. The Torah, study a Shemitah. The Torah has different ways to define time. There's a Shemitah. Study a Yovel. 50 years is a tkufa in the Torah, no? That's a very significant period of time. Everything in the Torah is broken up into periods of 50 years. No. Don't focus on 50 years. Focus on Shnos Dar Vadar and focus on days, specific days. So what it's perhaps telling us, you can argue, but it's just an observation, is the way to study history, and the person should take this seriously in his life, is to realize simple, innocent little events that happen on a regular day. It wasn't something that was in the planning for decades. An event happened on a day. It was a regular Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock. A person made a decision. He could have done this. He could have walked down the street and gone this way. He could have gone this way. If he would go here, he would be going for a Dvar Mitzvah. If he would be going here, he would be going for a Dvar Avera. He made a simple little decision on an innocent day, a Tuesday in the winter. No one was paying attention. Zichor Yemos Olam. Remember that day. Remember that day 500, 1,000 years ago. That decision that was made on that day, the effect, the consequence, the ramifications, last binu shnos dar vadar. Understand what has come from that simple event that happened on that day, generations later, the effect, the cause, the consequences, the ramifications that resulted out of that decision for generations to come. That's how the Torah is directing us to study here. Don't look at history, tkufa, present, 4 years, 8 years, this president, that president. No. Look at simple little things. And look how those little things swell and change the world years later. That's how the Torah is telling us to study history. Well, the next passage goes on to say, another observation. What? This is my interpretation.
That's your.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm just giving an observation. This is my observation.
Rav Huna just said
that studying Jewish history is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and it's extremely important. And it's extremely important. What?
Hashem.
He says Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah. It's a din of Talmud Torah because by studying Jewish history, you're studying the Hanhaga, you're studying the way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you learn Torah,
their history are doomed to repeat it.
Yeah, that's Jewish history. Absolutely, I have no doubt. I don't think Rav Hunan meant that studying Jewish history is equivalent to learning a Daf Gemara. I don't think he meant that. I think he meant there's a time to learn a Daf Gemara, and there's a time that you should set aside to learn Jewish history.
It's not a waste of time.
That for sure. It's not a waste of time. It's not a waste of time to read the New York Times. It means it's more than just not a waste of time. You're doing something important.
No, what did you just say?
Okay, you know what I mean. You read a book. Okay, you need a vacation. So you read a novel. Okay, you read a novel. It's nothing wrong. You're improving your skills. You're stimulating your mind. You're being informed. That's important. But learning, reading, studying history is on a higher level. It's not just in the category of okay, it's important knowledge. You should know this. Every Orthodox Jew has to know. No, you're doing something that is on a much higher level, which comes close to, I don't know the exact gedarim, it comes to the league, together, you're fulfilling a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It's not mamish Talmud Torah, you're going to say it's a daf gemara, but it's on a very high level. That's what he's saying. And people, if you're not far from saying this, I'm sure you'll have people, extremists, that will tell you, no, I disagree. They'll say it's a good thing, but it's just not, it's not
more intellectual approach versus the anti-intellectual.
Right, okay, but I just wanted to go a step further. Another rather just to the observation. The next pasuk goes on to say, "Binu." Every school teaches Jewish history. What in Beis Medrash? No, not in Beis Medrash, but in high school. That's yeah, of course.
Jewish history.
Jewish history.
We didn't have. The Sifta high schools don't have.
We didn't have Jewish history? The girls' school, girls, they know this stuff inside out. I don't know.
Rav Hutner didn't espouse it then.
For the Mechtavim. I don't know the answer.
It's very much like a Rav Kook kind of a thing.
Okay, let's conclude the observation with the next pasuk. Binu zechor yemoy salam binu shnoi star vidar. The pasuk goes on as shal avicha v'yagedcha zikenecha v'yoymulach. Now there's a Chazal said a chacham odif minavi. I want to bring a raya from this pasuk because it's a bit of a Jewish. But who is the av? Shal avicha. Who is the father? Rashi tells us the av is a navi. Ask your father v'yagedcha and he will tell you. Rashi says av is the neviim. Zikenecha, Rashi says the Chachamim. Zeshakana Chachma. Now, if we assume, I'm making a very great assumption, let us assume that there is parallelism here. That there are two parts, the first pasuk, and there are two parts, the second pasuk. The first part of the pasuk is Zuchar Yimos Olam, part one. Part two, Binu Shnos Dor Vidor. Next pasuk, part one, Shalavicha V'yageitcha, part two. If we assume that part one parallels part one and part two is a parallel to part two, who are you asking to remind you about Yimo Solom? The Nevi'im. Zechar Yimo Solom. Who are you asking to remind you about Binu Shnoi Star Vidar? Zikeinecha V'yoy Mulach. When you ask the Nevi'im, you're just asking them Zuchar, just to fill in the blanks. Remind us what happened on this day, on this day, on this day. But don't give us understanding. Just tell us what happened. When it comes to the understanding of Shnos Dar V'dar, the understanding of why things happened, how things happened, the meaning of what happened, you're asking the Zikeinecha, you're asking the Chachamim. The Chacham here are doing something which is on a much higher level than what the Nevi'im are doing. The Nevi'im are just fulfilling Zuchar. They're telling you to remember. They're reminding you the filling in the gaps. But the Chacham are giving you Bina. Binu Shnos Dar Vidar. Because Chacham Odif Minavi. A Chacham is a higher level than a Navi. So you see over here, if you assume that this is valid. Okay, we're out of time. Have a wonderful Shabbos Hazinu. Kisru lechem, wonderful Yom Tov. Chag Sameach. You don't say kosher. Everyone has a kosher esrog and olav.
That's only if you go away to Pesach, the hotels.
If you go away to the hotel, then you wish them mechak kosher.
Yeah.
If you stay home, you wish mechak soneach. Because
right.
If you go to the hotel, you for sure gonna have simcha.
Yeah.
Is it kosher in the hotel? Kosher. But if you go and you're gonna stay home for Yom Tov, kosher for sure. But will you have simcha? Chag Sameach. But for Sukkis, what do you say for Sukkis? Good Yom Tov. Moadim l'simcha. The Israelis say Moadim. They say Moadim l'simcha, and you respond. Moadim l'simcha. Chagim was masim. Chagim was almusasim. Kvitul. That's on the Hashanah Rabbah. I'll see you before Hashanah Rabbah.
And don't let your stop.